listening to the Great Groups Podcast. Our goal is to equip small group leaders at Brook Hills and beyond to make disciples through effective group ministry. You'll hear from Jay Gordon, who has more than 30 years of experience in leading church small group ministries. And he'll be joined by Chris Amaro, one of the small group leaders for the Church at Brook Hills. And often, you'll also enjoy interviews with other small group leaders. So, enjoy the commute, and thanks for listening to the Great Groups Podcast.
Well, I know that the intro told you that Chris and I would be discussing some content, but that is not the case today. I decided to be brave and try it on my own. So we're going to do that. Chris is headed to middle school camp tomorrow, and he's had some sickness in the family this week, not his immediate family. And we had wanted to go weekly this year and try to do that. So I'm going to give it a shot by myself today. And one of the things that I wanted to do today is come up with a great title. And the title is 11 Deadly Sins of Small Group Leaders. And why do I want to go negative like that? Because you guys love it. I have been looking for a way to work in a negative title. And here's the proof. We did two podcasts a few months ago. And one of them was what I love about leading small group. And another was what frustrates me. We had many more downloads on what frustrates me. And so I guess you guys wanted to commiserate with us on that. So anyway, here we go. 11 deadly sins to avoid. And as I present these, I would love for you guys to be thinking. And if there's something else that I have missed, please text me or email me. Get in contact and we'll add it to the list. And maybe when we do this again, 2 or 3 years down the road, we'll include that. All right. Deadly sin number one, showing up unprepared. And man, I know life gets busy sometimes and we have unexpected things just like Chris Amaro did this week. And it gets really hard sometimes. But showing up unprepared, man, everybody knows it. And sometimes when life happens to me, I'll change the plan, change to something that's not as intensive Bible study for me during the week if something has come up. And but I'll have a plan, but maybe that's a good solution for you is to shift to a plan that's not as intensive in studying. When I'm going through a Bible study with my group, meaning when we're in a book of the Bible study for a few months at a time, just going, you know, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, that is a lot of study. It's much more studying required for the leader than if you were doing the sermon-based guide or a small group guide, something like that. So anyway, sometimes change your plan, but don't show up unprepared. And that would have to do, another solution to that, I would just encourage you to start studying a week before because it allows time for the Holy Spirit to work with you on the content. And sometimes when it's real life change for you, you'll teach that in a more meaningful way. So just wanted to present that idea. Number one, showing up unprepared. Number two, showing up late. And man, I know things happen, particularly if you've got family and you're helping get the kids ready and that kind of thing. But man, whatever you can do, I encourage you to start the night before because one thing I've noticed, even like we do a flip-flop schedule here at Brook Hills, meaning we have worship and small groups at 9 and we have worship and small groups at 10:35. And so those 9 o'clock classes often struggle to get started on time. You know, worship's the same way. You'll see people during that first song, the percentage that the worship room is full before it starts compared to after that first song is incredible. And so it's that way in group as well. And so we struggle. So start the night before, make arrangements, do whatever you can do to get there on time. One of the things I've noticed often here at Brook Hills, guests are on time, even if the entire group, meaning nobody else from the group is there, guests are going to be on time. So let's do them the honor of being there on time to welcome people. You know, we've talked before about how important it is the first few minutes of group or the first few minutes of worship. A lot of impressions are had during that beginning time. So be there on time. You know, another thing that's going to be related to this is, and I wanted to kind of reduce the number of things that I had, don't go overtime as well. And I really struggle with that because I always overprepare. I think I'm going to talk about that later, but I'm sharing that don't go overtime is kind of aspirational for me and not something I've obtained yet. So, all right, number three is being too guarded. This is a deadly sin of being too guarded. Stating that positively, I would say this. Be yourself. Be transparent. Reveal who you are, flaws and everything. Of course, there's an appropriate level of flaws to share, but it is so encouraging to our people when we're transparent and allow them to see into our lives. I'm just reminded of a pastor I served with one time had to deal with his kids. Whenever he mentioned them from the pulpit, he had to give them $5. And so you definitely want your wife and family to be comfortable with what you share. So you might want to arrange some of that ahead of time. But man, just be yourself. Let them see inside of you. And I'm not just talking about the negative things. I encourage our leaders to share some of the positive things we do. But we have to make sure that's not an area of pride for us, you know. So some of those things might include witnessing to somebody, might include just briefly sharing about how you fast. Because if people can catch a glimpse of what obedience means in the lives of our leader, I think it's going to challenge them. So just be open. Share your successes too. Deadly sin number four, calling on someone to read or pray or to introduce themselves who you're not sure is comfortable with doing so. In short, never embarrass someone in your small group. You'll never see them again. So just be so careful with that. One idea that I've shared on here before, and it's my latest thing I'm really excited about, I call it a warm-up question. And what I do is just start at one point in the circle of our small group and go around and have everybody share. And the question is this: share something that happened to you this week. And it's not prayer time yet. It's not anything spiritual, not biblical truth you've learned this week. Just share something from life that happened this week. Another thing I found, that just helps us to get to know one another a little bit better. So encourage you to maybe consider a warm-up activity like that. One of the things I do when I do have guests, we will skip that activity and just go around and we tell our guests, hey, we're not going to embarrass you. We're going to ask you to tell something about yourself, but we're going to let you go last after all of us go. And so we'll go around and share our name and where we work, name and, you know, number of children we have, things like that. And so, and let our guests go last. And so that's another warm-up activity. And in small groups, I'm a big advocate of having a lot of conversation and involving a lot of people talking, and a warm-up activity helps people do that. But reading, you know, some people may not read well. They may be very subconscious, self-conscious about that. Praying is another area. But, you know, it's not too bad to just, hey, tell something that happened this week. My car broke down. My son's little league game started, something like that. Okay, deadly sin number five is fixing people's problems during prayer requests. And let's just remember that that time of group meeting is called prayer requests, and it's not asking others to help. And I've noticed, you know, sometimes I've been guilty of that. Sometimes people in my group, well, have you tried this? Hey, have you thought about that? Have you told him this? You know, and we can easily try to fix people's problems, but we're asking God to help fix their problems. Sometimes later, there is some good advice you have, and you may want to go to somebody later and suggest something, but just be careful in doing that with prayer time. If you do it with prayer time, everybody else in your group will copy. All right. Deadly sin number six is this: spending less time than 30 minutes in Bible study. That prayer request time, it can get out of hand if we're not careful. The fellowship can get out of hand. This morning we talked about brackets. We're even doing a bracket as a small group. We're throwing in some fun with that. And so we talked about who was in the head, who was in the lead, and games we've watched, and just fantastic things from the basketball tournament. But be careful to guard that time. We're all about God's word. 2 Timothy 3:16 says it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. So let's guard that time and spend at least 30 minutes in Bible study. And by that, I don't mean we're lecturing for 30 minutes. That means we're focusing on the word for 30 minutes. That can be discussion. That can be some questions we've asked, answers we're getting, or sometimes when the leader is teaching, giving some background, explaining some of the Greek or Hebrew words or anything like that that helps us understand the word. We're all about obedience, but we have to understand what the word says before we're obedient to it. Now, here's the deal. Sometimes there's a huge crisis in somebody's life, and you may need to stop and pray over them. You might even put a chair in the middle room, ask men or women to put their hands on them and on a shoulder or head, just pray over that situation. But that doesn't need to happen very often. I've also noticed that group size has a lot to do with that. And a few of our on-campus groups are pretty large. So if you've got a large number of people, that's probably almost, you would just never do that. If you're a group less than 15 or so, maybe once or twice a year, somebody's going to have a crisis and you just want to take some time and pray and let the lesson go till next week or give a summary of it, something like that. But most of the time, let's spend at least 30 minutes in Bible study. Now, number seven is kind of related to that. Deadly sin number seven is lecturing for 30 minutes. And so I mentioned that we don't want to teach. We want to have questions. And so I just want to reiterate that with number seven. We don't need to lecture because often we lose people when we do that. It's definitely more interactive when we are asking questions and allowing a number of different people to talk. That's why I'm scared about doing this podcast here. It's a monologue. And so I worry about losing some of you. So here's a statement. Never have a lesson plan without some pre-planned questions. So as you're going through your outline, preparing what you're going to teach, think about some questions that would draw out the truth of Scripture or draw out from people's lives how they're applying that, and use that. Have some questions planned in advance. Okay, deadly sin number eight is this, reading more than one sentence as you're teaching. Reading is just not engaging. Pretty soon I'm going to do a podcast on evaluating your presentation. And I don't know what to call this. You know, your Bible study time, your teaching time, every word kind of has a problem with it. But you know the Bible teaching time that we're talking about. Just be very careful not to read very much. So what's a solution for that? Number one is not only be very prepared, be very familiar with your material, but you just might write some keywords in the margin, and you can still have the text there of what you want to say, but a keyword in the margin quite likely is going to spur your memory to tell what that sentence was you wanted to say rather than just reading it. And the more you read, the less engaging that is, particularly if you're not familiar enough with the material to put some emotion and that type of thing in it. So just be careful with that. Write some keywords and teach from your keywords. Number nine is this. Deadly sin number nine is taking your eye off the clock. Now, I want to stress this. We need to be flexible. Almost every week there needs to be some flex, and you're going to have to flex in what you do. But know where you are as you're leading. I was just thinking, you know, it's probably like managing a basketball game or baseball game, or if cooking is more familiar, you know, there are changes, different things like that that you just have to manage. And so just be aware of the clock and when you need to end, and make sure that you're aware of what you're going to have to do, because you're going to have to be thinking through, okay, I was going to teach this section of Scripture. I'm probably going to have to save that till next week, or I can just maybe give a couple of summary statements about it. All of us have been in some of those places where we've lost some time. Then I'll tell you this. I've been leading small group for 37 years, and I still overprepare. I don't know what's wrong with me. I think I've got a brain glitch. So it's so easy to do because we don't want to be underprepared, but just be careful with that. All right, deadly sin number 10 is this, ending the meeting without a call to action, a challenge, or putting some of the Scripture into application. And I just want to say, we're all about life change. Colossians 1:28 says that we teach so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. And so the goal of our teaching is to bring people one step closer to Jesus and one step closer to obedience to all of the commands He has given us, to be more like Him and to be effective in every part of our life that God calls us to give Him obedience. So I'll tell you this, the number one reason a leader may not give some type of challenge is time management. Time gets away from us. And something I've said before, I just want to reiterate, if your challenge might come from the middle verse of your 30 minutes of teaching time, discussion time, go ahead and give a challenge up front or in the middle, whenever you come to that part of scripture where your challenge is going to come from. Just go ahead and say, hey, this scripture is what motivates me to challenge you to do this. And of course, we've talked about challenges before. Sometimes you just want to say, okay, based on today's scripture, what is God calling you to do? And allow two or three people. And when we do something like that, we have to be comfortable with silence. So I just want to encourage you, throw out questions like that. Be comfortable with some silence. And sometimes it's silent and I'll just say, okay, that wasn't a rhetorical question. Let's give it some thought. I'm going to sit here and be quiet. And I want some of you to share what you would like to do, what part of this scripture we've studied today that you would love to implement. All right. Number 11 is this, forgetting to follow up with guests and with prayer requests. Man, that's just so important. When we follow up with a prayer request that somebody expresses during group, it is so meaningful to them that we remembered and that we touched base with them. It might be a timed thing like a surgery on a Tuesday or whatever. It might just be an ongoing problem. You might just send a text and say, hey, I heard you Sunday morning. I want you to know I'm praying about this or about that. And that's something that just means so much to our people. Another thing would be just following up with guests. It is so meaningful when we touch base with somebody to say, hey, we're so glad that you visited us. We hope that we'll see you again. And by the way, if you can swing this, one of the things I've just loved to do with guests when I've had a chance is to meet them for coffee that week or maybe even invite them to lunch that Sunday and just get to know them better. When we have a chance to do that, I've noticed it just makes our group more sticky. You know, we're more likely to, if we want to use the big word, assimilate them, we're more likely to assimilate them into our group. So find some ways to do that. Like I said up front, let me know if I missed anything. This is my initial list of 11 deadly sins of small group leaders. And so just want you to give that some thought. If I missed anything, maybe it's a pet peeve of yours that you've seen before. So let me know about that. Thanks so much for listening today, and we will see you next week.
Well, that's all for this episode of the Great Groups Podcast. Please do subscribe on your favorite podcast app so that you won't miss the next episode. Also, visit us online at greatgroups.org and leave a comment there. We would love to hear from you. Thanks again for listening today. We'll be back next time with a conversation that inspires you to make disciples. And that's the point of Great Groups, make disciples.